Our reading today is from Matthew 12, page 978. I'm going to pray before we read. Father God, we thank you for your word that is powerful. Please help us to understand it this morning. Please let it powerfully change us. Amen.
Amen.
So from chapter 12, verse 46. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of the Lord. So what signifies that I am in someone's family? It's the blood that runs through my veins, isn't it? It's the bond formed as you live life together, right? Many of you might have seen Fast and Furious, as Dominic Toretto would say, there's nothing more important than family. So if Dom's right, then what makes me part of Jesus' family? What does it mean to be part of Jesus' family? Is that a question you ever think about? It may be, it may not. What makes me part of Jesus' family? Is it my lineage, who I'm related to? Is it my ethnicity? Is it the people I'm around? As I said a second ago, I was on a Cornhill mission this week, and we was doing walk-up evangelism, going up to people, and we'd say something like, "Hi, mate, can I ask you a question? What's the purpose of all humanity?" Something like that we'd ask. I had one conversation with someone, and he said, "Oh, I've got Christian parents. I'm a Christian. You don't need to talk to me." And we said, "Wonderful." And the person I was with actually asked, "Great, so what does it mean to be a Christian?" And this guy said, "It's a family. I'm a Christian because of my parents, and it's nice having friends and family. That's what Christianity is to me. It's the community that I was born into." So is there truth to this? Are we Christians? Can we be in a relationship with Christ? With Jesus, because we have Christian parents, for example? Is that what makes us part of his family? And our first point today we're going to see from this passage is that Jesus's true family are those that do the will of the Father. Over the previous weeks, we've seen Jesus having conversations with a crowd, including Pharisees and teachers of the law. And he's been doing wonderful things such as teaching and healing. But in these last couple of weeks, we've also seen opposition from these people as Jesus does these wonderful things. The crowd question his credentials, even as he heals a demon-possessed man. Even worse, the Pharisees say that he's doing it in the name of the devil, Satan, Beelzebul. And last week, we saw how Jesus is speaking about this generation, the generation he's speaking to, and the wickedness of them, how they're rejecting Jesus. And this week, we're going to look at what it means to be a part of Jesus' family. Our first point, as I said, from this passage, is Jesus' true family are those that do the will of the Father. So as Jesus is speaking to this crowd, some of his biological relatives, they want to speak with him. His mother and brothers are outside. They want to speak with Jesus. It says, verse 46, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. So they come and they ask for Jesus. And then Jesus replies, verse 48, who is my brother and who are my brothers? So who is my mother? And who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, Here are my mother and my brothers. It's a bit shocking, isn't it? Could you imagine your parents coming to pick you up? Some of you might have to, I think, a long time ago, picking you up from someone's house, like a house party, for example. And you stand up in front of all your friends and you say, "This is my family. They're not my family." It's like something from a teenage silly film. Could you imagine that? Your mum, whoever came to pick you up, would be livid. I know for many of you, it would result in a clip in the ear. And that's probably fair enough, given the circumstances. It would be absolutely outrageous, wouldn't it? So does Jesus not respect his family? Well, firstly, Jesus isn't at a party being picked up. He isn't me or you with our parents doing us a favor. Jesus is currently doing what is of the utmost importance to him. He is teaching people. He's speaking to the crowd and his disciples. And we see the importance of teaching in Jesus' ministry. Just one verse from Matthew 11, verse 1 says, "After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee." It's clear that Jesus is teaching still. He's doing what is of the utmost importance. And we don't know what his family wanted. It doesn't tell us in the verses. But they wanted to stop him from doing what he was doing. It may have been important. We don't know. There is absence of Joseph, who Mary, mother of Jesus' husband. Maybe he died. And Jesus was the eldest son. So maybe he was expected to look after them after Jesus had died. But we're not told that. Regardless of the situation, Jesus makes it clear what is of the most importance. And that's not being related to him on the family tree. Jesus is clearly using this opportunity to show what is most important. It isn't being blood related. It's doing what Jesus cares most about. He isn't using this opportunity to say that he is his own man and he's not going to be kept in the social boundaries of the time. As the eldest man in the family has to look after the family. He isn't using this opportunity to embarrass his family. He isn't a rebellious son. He is declaring what is the category to truly be a part of his family, of being part of God's family. He is showing what it truly looks like to be a brother or a sister of Jesus. And we see that in verse 50, doing the Father's will. Verse 50 says, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Doing the will of the Father. There you go. That's all you got to do. It's easy, right? Well, what does that even mean, the will of the Father? What does that look like? We had a reading earlier from Matthew 7. Please feel free to flick back with me. So we read from 7:21 to 27. I won't read it all again. But if we look at verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Here Jesus is speaking about those who will enter the kingdom of heaven doing the Father's will. But once again, are we told what the Father's will is? Look at me with verse 24. At the beginning of verse 24, we're given a therefore. I'm going to give you a little Cornhill tip now. At the beginning of verse 24, we see a therefore. Whenever we see a therefore in the Bible, it's good to ask the question of what's it there for? What's it there for? And therefore means because of the bit before this, now do this. So verse 24 is linked to the section beforehand. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So the wise man listens to Jesus's words, and he is on a foundation that is good. A foundation that leads to the kingdom of God. A foundation that makes the wise man a part of Jesus's family. So doing the will of the Father can be done by listening to Jesus's words. We find out the will of the Father by listening to Jesus. It's possible by listening to what Jesus says. Are you doing the will of the Father? Do you listen to Jesus's words? Doing the will of the Father isn't us earning our way into a relationship with Jesus. It's evidence of our relationship with Jesus. We don't earn anything, but Jesus is saying that those who are truly part of his family do the will of the Father. It's part of the relationship. If you have a mum who's brought you up, I'm sorry to reveal to you, but you never contributed to your birth. You did nothing. You were completely useless for yourself. You had no hope about the people around you. But now part of that relationship may involve loving your mum. If we have a relationship with Jesus, we don't earn it, but we now do the will of the Father. We listen to him. But you may be wondering, if you're not a Christian, how do you even get into this relationship? Well, the first act of doing the will of the Father is saying sorry for rejecting him. Can I have a restored relationship with you? I'm sorry for all I've done. Please forgive me. And we have seen this in this chapter so far. Last week, we saw people who did the will of God. The Ninevites, those that Jonah went to with a message of repentance. This is in just a few verses before we're in today. It was last week. God wanted them to turn from their wicked ways. And they did. They said sorry. They showed this clearly by humbling themselves. They were called to turn to God, and they did. They turned to God and they showed they were sorry. They listened to him. Jesus says that his words are what must now be listened to do the will of the Father. Repentance and believing, so turning back to the Father and giving your life to him through Jesus, is where it starts. And if this is something that's quite new to you and you'd like to do this, then please do speak to a Christian here today. We all love speaking about the importance of this. So me or Joel or Mark, who came up, there are Christians here as well. But if we are a Christian, what does it look like? It is loving Jesus. It's loving God. It's wanting to live for him in all aspects of our lives, listening to what the Bible has to say and applying it to our lives. It's our whole life being on top of this solid ground, which is the Bible. So, if being part of Jesus' family means doing the Father's will, then what doesn't give us a place automatically into Jesus' family? And this is the second point we see from the passage. There is no relationship with Jesus just because of who you're related to. There is no relationship with Jesus just because of who you're related to. So we're at the end of chapter 12 this week. And in this chapter, we have covered the last few weeks. We have seen clearly that many are rejecting Jesus. They're asking questions, doubting him, and he is refuting them. He has been dealing with awful people who need to be corrected. But have you noticed that the people that have been rejecting him, they're all part of the Israelite nation, the Jewish people, the people of God? The Pharisees are supposed to be the ones who follow the rules rightly and know how the law works. Yet they have been trying to trip Jesus up. They've asked questions, hoping he makes mistakes. They have accused him of doing the devil's work. They're clearly rejecting him. These people, the greatest in the Israelite nation, the highest position of God's people, who would have seemed so religious, they seem to follow rules. They're not part of Jesus' family. And they would have seemed great, but they so clearly rejected the Lord. Doing the will of the Father means listening to Jesus. These guys accuse Jesus of something horrific. It doesn't matter how much they seemed to be good or thought they were good. They were not part of Jesus' family. Well, of course, they clearly rejected him. But likewise, today, there may be some who seem to be doing really well in the world's eyes. Certain preachers online, for example, maybe you look at them and think, yeah, they'll be okay. Maybe you want to be like that. If they don't do the will of the Father by not listening to Jesus, if they love money, for example, and promise it in this life, and that's what you will get by being better, then likely they're not part of Jesus' family. They reject the will of the Father. They don't listen to Jesus. So in this chapter of Matthew, we have seen a clear rejection of Jesus from the Israelites speaking to him. We've seen a very wrong reaction to him. We've seen a wrong understanding of Jesus. And now in our passage today from Jesus' own biological family, we are seeing a wrong understanding of who he is. On the outset, it may have seemed like this from his biological family is normal. But really, we see from Jesus' responses that this is another wrong reaction to him. It's a lack of understanding of what Jesus cares most about. For some of you may be thinking, that's his actual biological brothers and mother. Surely that's the most important thing. What does Jesus say? Again, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Verse 48, he replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus makes it very clear. Being a part of his family has no relation to who you're biologically related to. You are not saved because of the blood that runs through you. Maybe you thought before, surely if I'm close to a Christian, surely if I'm born to Christian parents, surely if my nan was a Christian and I came to church with her, I'll be okay. Surely Jesus' mothers and brothers would be okay. Mother and brothers would be okay. They're obviously part of his family. Surely it'll be all right. It doesn't matter unless they are people who do the will of the Father. Being part of a Christian family does nothing for you if you yourself do not do the will of the Father. Even Jesus' direct family, it's not what is important. Maybe we can find a shock in this because we do often put so much emphasis on family. We care so much about family meaning more than non-family. Often we see that family comes even before principles. It comes before anything. We see this in films. Maybe you've seen it in real life. The importance of supporting family despite what they do. We see it in gang culture or films of gangsters like The Godfather. The importance of family. We're family. We're everything. There's nothing more important. We see this in Disney films and books too. Family is so important to people. But what does Jesus think of this? They are not saved because of the blood that circulates their body. Jesus isn't saying that none of his blood family, so direct biological family, do not do the will of the Father. He's not saying that. He's just making the point very clear that if they don't do the will of the Father, then the blood in their veins means diddly squat. You want to be part of Jesus' family, then you're someone who loves Jesus and you do the Father's will. Jesus here says that his family are those that do the will of the Father. If you don't, then you're not part of his family. As Christians, this should likewise challenge us. Do you view the people sitting here today as family? If that is who Jesus' true family are, and we do the will of the Father, then isn't our true family those who also do the will of the Father? The Christians sitting around you today, we should view them no less than your biological family, because they're part of the most important family, Jesus' family. That was most important to Jesus. It should be no different for us. Now, I'm not saying that I have an as good relationship with everyone here, sitting here today, as with some of my non-Christian family. And it can be hard to have that relationship with everyone, as we don't spend enough time together. But to Jesus, it is most important to him. Those who do the will of the Father is what's important to Jesus when it comes to family. I'm sorry, but I haven't had that attitude to everyone here. It's challenging, isn't it? And this may be hard to hear. It's quite countercultural. As Christians, if we love Jesus, and this is shown for us wanting to do the Father's will, then we are his family. I think it's wonderful. And if it was about biology, then it wouldn't be good for us anyway, because we're 2,000 years after Jesus and probably don't have much Middle Eastern heritage. But we're just as much family of Christ, 2,000 years after him, if we are those that love him, and this can be seen in doing the Father's will. How magnificent is it that we are brothers and sisters with Christ? Would we speak to our biological family, our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents, in the same way that Jesus does? Would we speak about our church family in the way that Jesus speaks about his true family? I think many of us wouldn't. As Christians, though, we do share in something so wonderful. If they've given their lives to Jesus, people sitting around you today, then they're part of your family. And one way in which we can see each other as family is spending time together, having food, going out, meeting for coffee. And we can do the Father's will together. We can encourage each other in the Word. We can encourage each other in evangelism. We can do these things together. And we do. We have evangelism team once a month. And we meet in church every Sunday. But let's do more. Let's do more. Let's have even greater attitudes towards each other. Stay for tea and coffee even when you don't feel much up for it. If we remind each other of what we are to each other, if we remind ourselves that he is my brother, she is my sister, then it will be easier to love one another. You can call them sister and brother and mother. You can call them sister and brother and mother because you are family with Jesus if you do the Father's will. Now let me pray. Lord, we thank you so much that we can be part of this family because of what Jesus has done. Please help us to remember this and to want to do your will at all times. Please help us to see each other as part of this family, united because of Christ. Amen.